The Wasteland. The near future. Movie clerk David Snyder and overlord Immortan Hoof fight to rid the decaying landscape of the cinematic naivety which infests it. After being told that their animation output is lagging, Apocalypse Video is outfitted by Dave with increased cartoon coverage and a computer-enhanced theme song. It has become the ultimate super pod, Robopod.
Hello, welcome to the fifth installment of the Apocalypse Video, Robopod. I'm your host, David Snyder, and joined again by ruler of the wasteland and lover of cartoons, Immortan Hoof.
I'm back.
And this is such a great episode because this one is basically Man in the Iron Suit is like specifically tailored for you, Hoof, because I don't know if anyone here in the wasteland is aware, other than your love of cartoons, you also share a love for another very specific cartoony subgenre, and that would be...
You're talking about older gentlemen being outpaced by the robotic generation. That's right.
No, not actually, although that's interesting. I didn't know you were into that specific subgenre of cartoons. No, I was referring more to like mechs or like exosuits or shit like that.
Yeah, for sure. Mechas, robots, all these giant mechanical entities. That's right in my wheelhouse.
Like, so what was your initial reaction? So the episode is titled Man in the Iron Suit. And when we get the giant robot suit, like, what was going through your head at this point?
Well, I was pretty excited. I was like, oh, well, first I was asking, McNamara is crazy. Like, he's just developing the wildest things in this laboratory. And I'm assuming he works for OCP. So I think that he has probably unlimited funding. So he's just like... He's the perfect, like, legal mad scientist, I guess.
I knew I should have replaced that chip in your logic circuitry. But right now, I've got more important things to do, like testing this new fusion ray. Now, let's see. I'll add this to my new design. Whoever wears this robotic suit will be unstoppable. Yes, I have finally made RoboCop obsolete.
He has robot hands, for God's sake.
So I was so excited. I was like, oh, this is cool. But when I saw the title, I thought that we were going to get like an evil RoboCop or something. That's what I was thinking.
Well, a little backstory for me on this episode. This is the episode that I most closely recall when thinking of this series, RoboCop, the animated series. Like, I don't know if I had, as a kid, if I had this taped on a VHS or if I had like a special RoboCop animated series VHS, but this is the episode I've seen the most, and because I saw it on a tape. I don't remember the source of the tape, but I watched this over and over again, and this is what I think of when I think of RoboCop the animated series.
That's crazy, like, that you had a specific taped episode of RoboCop.
It was a specific episode, and remember, I don't recall if I taped it, or I want to say it was like an officially licensed RoboCop animated series VHS, and it only had this episode on it. That's my recollection, that it was like an official tape.
Okay, I remember because they would do that for different shows. Like, they had a bunch of those for Power Rangers and Pokemon.
Oh,
and
yeah, where
like
it would
that.
Just be a single episode. So you have like a VHS with like just a 42-minute VHS or something like that.
Yeah, I remember those.
Like, that was a thing. And I want to say that's what we had, because I can't imagine if it was just a regular thing that I taped off TV that I would have only taped one episode. I can't imagine the kid me going like, ah, this is all I need, Man in the Iron Suit.
Well, I think you should try to find that.
Oh, it's long gone.
Oh, too bad. That would be cool to have.
My family home was destroyed in the explosion, Hoof.
Oh, well, we could still scavenge it. Might find a remnant of the VHS.
I would love to have that. If we're talking like old kid heirlooms, I would love to have that. I would love to have my Star Trek and Star Wars micro machines back. Like, if there's any vendors out there in the wasteland, I would love to get that shit back if you have it.
Well, come up with a wish list.
I'll have to do that. I also had to get my VHS of the Power Rangers, the episode where the Yellow Ranger has to confront her fear of heights or whatever the fuck that was. Which, by the way, was the only episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers I ever saw as a kid.
Oh, so at least we have some connection from our kid childhood.
But let's get into it. RoboCop, Man in the Iron Suit. Hoof, why don't you explain this episode to anyone who hasn't seen it, which is probably most of everyone in the wasteland.
Right. So there, I guess what's going on is that there's a veteran cop named Hedgecock, and I can't remember if we saw him in the last two episodes or the last few
we did
episodes.
He wears glasses in this episode when he's going through this training course, and the way he looks and the way he talks, it reminds me of like your typical asshole dean in like any college comedy movie.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, watch this.
205. Not bad, man.
What do you mean, not bad? If that's the best these overgrown Cub Scouts can do, why, they wouldn't last 5 minutes in old Detroit. Let me show you how it's done. Set the difficulty factor at 10.
But, Lieutenant, I don't think it's a good idea to...
That's an order, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Ready when you are, Sergeant.
So we have Hedgecock, and he wants to prove that he's the best. So he goes through this training course, and he gets this. He sets a new record, and the training course is basically like the X-Men's Danger Room, which is crazy.
It's insane.
They have pillars of fire just going.
Gigantic, like, presses that go, like, crushers that could kill someone. I mean, they go to the trouble of showing, oh, there's, like, pads on them, but it's like, no, that would kill you.
Yeah, this is, and they put him on the hardest setting, of course, so it's level 10. And so he completes the course, and it sets a new record, but then RoboCop shows up and then beats his record easily. And then there's this war between McNamara, who develops a new mech suit, which he gives Hedgecock, and then it ends with a climax battle between Hedgecock and in the Iron Suit versus RoboCop.
Mind
and actually,
you,
it's
they
pretty brutal.
Oh yeah, it's brutal. And mind you, I just want to point out they have to perform this second test with Hedgecock in the Iron Suit and RoboCop in a junkyard because RoboCop basically destroys the OCP training course when he goes through it. He bursts through a wall. He like destroys a bunch of shit. It's just it's just like, why is RoboCop going through this ordinary human training course? It doesn't make sense to me. Of course he's gonna fucking pass it.
Right, and he does it in record time. And then it's the funniest thing to me is that so when Hedgecock does the course in under, I think his score was 1:39, everyone's cheering for him. And then RoboCop shows up, and then everybody just abandons him, right?
Well, they literally push him out of the way. They're like, oh, put him out of the way, it's RoboCop!
Unbelievable! That was a new course record!
Not bad for an old codger, huh?
Hey, look at that! It's RoboCop! Holy cow! Look at the size of him!
Greetings!
And then they're just cheering for RoboCop when he's going through the chorus. It's just so funny, like... I just imagine, to me, so this is the way that my mind works. I equate it to economics and stuff like that. So you think of like a cashier being replaced by an automatic telling machine or something like that, and you'd have people like, yeah, get the jobs.
Basically, yeah.
So I'm always looking, because this is a RoboCop cartoon, I'm still looking for the commentary that's going on. So here in this episode, we have this dynamic between, you know, humans being replaced by robots. And in this case, people are like cheering for it, which I find really ironic because that's not usually the case. So it's kind of funny to me.
Well, it's like RoboCop is looked upon as a celebrity in this cartoon series almost. Like, it's weird how people react to him.
I think that that would be accurate, though, like in to real life. Like, you would have old veterans, and it's kind of similar to how you think of jobs now. You know, you have young bucks who come in and they maybe want to do something differently, and you have the older crowd who's stuck in their ways or whatever, and then you have this dynamic going on. But I think that in real life, if you did get a RoboCop, you would be a celebrity.
If you did get a RoboCop.
Yeah, because he is a product, remember?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, let's talk about this iron suit that McNamara makes. Like, I gotta admit, like, it is pretty cool. I mean, it's fully equipped. It shoots, like, rockets and lasers, and it has, like, this awesome, like any, like, fucking robot that you'd see in this era of cartoons. Like, it has, like, a fucking, like, harpoon thing or tether that it shoots or whatever so that it can, like, wrap people up.
Yeah, some kind of remote control lasso type thing.
Yeah.
And it's pretty dynamic. Like, it looks clunky as hell, but I do love...
It flies!
Yeah, it flies. But I love how they do this testing thing in McNamara's lab or something like that. And he's like, okay, test your brute strength. Now test your reflexes. And then you can see that, you know, somehow the cartoon is able to prove that this giant robot is agile.
Well, RoboCop is, like, sometimes agile in this. Like, again, it's what we talked about in previous episodes where, like they kind of have to give him a little more agility. Like, he runs around a little bit, like, in these episodes. Like, when they start shooting at him, he, like, dives behind a police car. He's like, oh! You know, he kind of, like, lightly jogs now. Like, that's the... And he can also jump and shit. It's like, they have to sort of boost his agility. But it's interesting... As I say that, in this episode, when Robo goes through the first training course, Hedgecock's like, yeah, I want to see this thing runs like a fucking turtle or something like that. It's, I like
oh,
that
yeah,
they
three,
simultaneously...
Oh, yeah, three-legged tortoise.
What in blazes is that walking scrap heap doing here?
I've just installed a new program, so his reflexes will be 0.07% faster. I want to test him. Are you ready, RoboCop?
Yes, Dr. Tyler.
Oh, brother. That bucket of bolts moves like a three-legged tortoise. There's no way he can touch my score.
We'll see about that, Lieutenant.
I like that they simultaneously point out how unagile RoboCop is, but then at the same time, there are times when the cartoon gives him increased agility in order to, like... It's basically just to get out of a jam. It's just like, all right, so RoboCop is super slow and clunky, but we got to have him run a little bit in order to get out of this obstacle or something.
Yeah.
It's like they kind of, like, have their cake and eat it, too, in some points.
I just can't imagine anyone who the creative forces behind the show, like, caring... Really?
Like, that's a good point.
I'm sure they're not. Obviously, there's some consistency that matters. But like if they make him. Oh, what if he runs in this instant? Like, I just can't believe that they have like maybe this chart of all his abilities. OK, he can't do this. So don't have him do this in the cartoon.
It's a cartoon. There are no limits.
Yeah, it's whatever.
And also like desires. An 8-year old watching this in 1988 probably isn't going to care.
I could just imagine some really detail-oriented kid. He's like, wait a second. He didn't run last episode.
That's not you mentioned like commentary in these episodes. It kind of there were a couple instances like there's a moment where like McNamara comes in and maybe this isn't so much commentary, but sort of like subtle humor. Like she's like, oh, I made a program that makes RoboCop 0.07% faster. I want to try it out. I don't know if that's commentary or humor or whatever, but it made me laugh. It's just like if I was Lieutenant Hedgecock, I would be pissed, too. It's like. 0.07%. Are you fucking kidding me? Get the fuck out of here. Like,
yeah.
That would be so goddamn annoying. Like, every time I'm going through this training course, they're going to bring on the robot so they can test out its 0.01% like update. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's funny. You know what? I've been, I don't know, maybe I'm attuned more to the language of the cartoon this time or whatever, but I'm seeing consistencies like that. So you have that. And then when the race is over, then you have the scientist. She says, it's still not good enough. I still want it to be faster. And then you have a lot of instances where the boss of OCP, I forget his name, but he's like, it's all about profits. And then like an emphasis that RoboCop is like a product and stuff like that. So I just maybe noticed it more this time. But
well, those are the elements from the movie that the cartoon, that the writers of the cartoon kept. They're just like, right, hey, we got to nail those bits of social satire from the movie.
Right.
Like even if the kids don't get it, we got to throw that in there because that's kind of at the core of what RoboCop is, I feel.
Yeah,
as a
we'll
movie.
Talk about it in another episode too, but they really go hard on those aspects. But yeah, I mean, it's just so funny. Like, I guess as an adult, you can be aware of things that are cartoonishly evil, and and we start to see those more and more in this episode. And I guess, you know, it's funny, like, looking at this, watching this as an adult versus watching as a kid, like, what we can pick out and notice from these cartoons. Like, that's funny on a different level.
Yeah.
But well, the showdown between RoboCop and Hedgecock when he's in the suit is actually surprisingly brutal. I was kind of surprised, like, how long it went on and how kind of, like, especially towards the end when RoboCop is just basically ripping off the pieces of metal, and you can hear Hedgecock say, "You're gonna kill me."
What the?
Lieutenant!
You're gonna kill me! You crazy robot! You can't do this to me! I got rights! I'm a cop! You're programmed only to harm criminals!
You murdered Lewis Hedgecock, and you're going to pay now!
No!
Murphy! Don't do it! I'm okay. Just a little banged up, that's all.
But Hedgecock is still guilty of attempted murder.
Everything is on videotape. We can bring him up on charges later.
You have the right to remain silent.
Hey!
You have the right to an attorney.
This was a legitimate contest. She had no business being here.
So spoiler, they defeat Hedgecock. Like, RoboCop gets super pissed. He jumps on Hedgecock from the top of the junkyard pile and just starts, like, wailing on him, like, "Rawr! Rawr!" You know, just starts ripping his suit apart and just, like, picks him up by his throat and just, like, "You're under arrest." And, like, they make this point of saying, like, "Oh, you're fucked, Hedgecock. We got this all on tape. We're gonna bring you in for attempted murder." And then Dr. McNamara, or no, not Dr. McNamara, fuck, what's her name?
The female scientist.
Dr. Tyler.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Tyler, RoboCop's creator, is just like, she's the one who destroys the tape, and it's not because, but they're like,
we gotta back up. Because you missed the key part, and this is something that we have to talk about too, is so the reason that there's this tape that's incriminating to Hedgecock is because, what's the girl's name?
Dr. Tyler.
No. His partner.
Oh, Lewis.
Lewis. So Lewis goes on the training course and endangers herself, really, but Hedgecock fires a missile or something like that, or something falls on her. Oh, yeah, the cars fall on her. And RoboCop thinks she's dead. So the reason that Hedgecock is quote-unquote in trouble is because Lewis went on the course and then Hedgecock endangered her life. So I don't know if that's, like, legit against Hedgecock.
Huff, you would make a great defense attorney.
Well, it's weird. Like, I'm not saying that it was unclear to me in the evidence presented in the episode that Hedgecock intentionally endangered her life. Like, I feel like she just kind of went on the went on the course, and she wasn't supposed to be on that course. So I don't know. I just feel like maybe Hedgecock isn't, like, quote unquote, the bad guy here.
Lieutenant Hedgecock was acquitted today by his lawyer, Morton Hoof.
I know I'm all about the profits, but I just try to put myself outside of that and just really objectively analyze what we've seen in this episode. And I think the evidence is inconclusive.
Well, it all brings up an interesting point. The reason Dr. Tyler destroys the tape in a surprise move, you think it's like, oh, it's OCP that's going to destroy the tape. No, it's Dr. Tyler. It's because she's like, if this tape gets out, it'll show that RoboCop, like, lost control and, like, almost killed a guy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's like an interesting, like, piece that this cartoon does. It's probably not going to develop at all. It's like, what if we lose control of Robo? Like, I'm wondering, like, in one of these future episodes, is there going to be an episode where, like, RoboCop, like, goes rogue or something? Like, that'd be kind of cool.
Well, we did see that in, well, which episode was it? The Scrambler, right?
What did he do in that one? I can't. It was like a few episodes back, and I've already forgotten.
I don't know. I feel like Scrambler like took control of him.
Oh well, no. I mean, like, well, I guess, but I mean, like, full, like, of his own volition, he goes rogue.
Okay. Yeah, we could see that. We could see that. It'd be interesting. But yeah, I feel like then we would get the same climax where Murphy has to, or Lewis has to go and like appeal to his better
talk
nature or whatever. It'll be the same climax or whatever. But
yeah, but that's true. I guess what I'm saying is I want him to like full on just murder someone.
Well, I mean, I was surprised that we heard the word kill, honestly. So, I mean, even for an 80s cartoon, like that's kind of, you don't have blood, you don't really use the word kill and stuff like that. So when Hitchcock screamed out, "You're going to kill me," like that was surprising to me because that's kind of like a taboo word in cartoons, especially American cartoons. So maybe we'll get murder eventually.
Maybe we'll get actual guns in an episode instead of energy weapons or whatever the fuck these are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no bullets, that's for sure.
No bullets, yeah.
But yeah, I think you make an interesting point about this this layered like cover up going on. So there was the first cover up of covering Hitchcock, and then you have the second cover up to cover up RoboCop. So that's interesting and funny.
Multi-layered cover ups.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth to this cartoon.
Well, there's one other thing I want to talk about in this episode. It's not related to the cover-ups or anything like that. It's just simply sort of a what-the-fuck moment. And it's it's a payroll heist at Granny Johnson's bakery.
What's that again? A payroll heist at Granny Johnson's bakery? I'll get someone right on it.
I'll take that call, Sergeant. Come on, man, let's move out.
At Granny Johnson's bakery. So what images does that conjure up for you when you hear Granny Johnson's bakery?
I thought that this guy... So as soon as they say that, I thought that they were going to cut to like this guy stealing muffins or something like that.
I know. Or like $20 from the cash register or some shit. But no, Granny Johnson's bakery is more like Granny Johnson's factory. It is this giant office building with this giant factory inside. Yet there's still a token old lady who looks like a Quaker from the 1800s. It's like what? And this is in the middle of like futuristic old Detroit or whatever. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Come out with your hands up.
Stay back. You try and move in, the old lady gets it.
Well, I never.
And it's one gunman too. It's one gunman inside this giant factory.
Yeah, he has an automatic rifle or something like that, and he's got grandma. What is her name?
Granny Johnson.
Granny Johnson. And she's screaming out all these things like, "You young whippersnapper."
Didn't your mother teach you to respect your elders? And just look at those clothes. No wonder you can't get a decent job.
You're beginning to get on my nerves, lady.
It's just this, I don't know, dude. Like, when they said Granny Johnson's bakery, I was just like... I just thought of this small little shop in the middle of old Detroit. I did not think of a factory. It's just, and it just made me laugh too because they're like the music gets like super intense, like when he says Granny Johnson's bakery. I'm just like, what could possibly be going down at Granny Johnson's bakery that deserves this like intense music?
Yeah. Well, do you remember the when he gets the call, they're in the police station, right? And they did one other call. They showed the guy taking one other call before this. And he's like, "They did what to your begonias? We'll send someone right over."
Yeah, and then Robo's like, "I'm on it." I can imagine what happened to those begonias. He probably just stepped on them or crushed them or some shit.
Yeah, so I don't know. They get some wacky calls in that police station.
He did what to your begonias? Don't worry, ma'am. We'll send out a patrol right away. Officer Lewis, domestic disturbance at the Renaissance Towers.
No sweat, Sarge. I'm on my way.
Well, again, it has to match the PC or violent nature of what a 80s cartoon can allow. So you can't have like, there's trouble with the strip club. Well, we're right on it. It's like, no, you got to swap out strip club with Granny Johnson's bakery.
So funny the way that they phrase it too, payroll heist.
I know.
Like, I guess everybody was going to get paid that day, and that's the money that he stole.
I guess there's a really
compelling backstory to this guy that we're not getting.
It almost makes me wonder if in the writing room for this episode, this was more of a madcap situation where it's just like, all right, we have a blank and a blank. And it's, so they just pulled out some piece of paper. It's like, Granny Johnson's Bakery. Okay. Payroll heist. All right, let's do it. It's just like, because the two just don't match to me.
Right. That's so funny.
But that's kind of it for this episode. Like, did you have any other thoughts or anything?
No, I gotta say that this, of all the, so far of all the episodes that we watched, this was probably my favorite.
Oh, me too, hands down. And not just for a nostalgia factor, the fact that this is like perhaps the one episode of this cartoon I ever watched as a kid. Like, I don't remember any other episodes from this cartoon but this one, and it's because I watched it over and over again on a tape.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, the first two episodes that we watched were pretty, I don't know, they felt really dry or whatever. But this one was a little compelling. You had some character development with Hedgecock, I feel, and then you had this giant mecha going on. So I don't know. I gotta say, this episode surprised me.
This was a good one, and there's like tension, like when he's like, when his power system is going down. Well, that was actually one thing I wanted to point out. See, they say like, oh my god, Robo is like going towards permanent shutdown. It's like, when he just recharged later on, it's just like, if your car battery dies, you just get a new battery. Or if your phone battery dies, you just recharge it. It's like, is that not the same principle here?
Like, yeah, I don't know. They make it sound really ominous, but it's like, what?
What's wrong with Murphy, Doc?
His system is rapidly deteriorating. With his energy almost completely drained, Robocop is heading toward permanent shutdown.
Oh, no. Hitchcock's out to kill him. You've got to stop the test!
Let's not get hysterical, Lewis. Forfeiting the match might endanger the Robocop project.
The test must run its course.
I agree.
What's wrong with you people? That's a man out there, not just another OCP product.
Just plug him in again. It's just like, what's the problem? I don't know. Maybe they chose the wrong wording or something. I don't know.
Well, maybe it's his heart. And if his heart goes out, then he's out. I don't know.
Who knows? But that's going to do it for this episode of the Apocalypse Video Robopod. We'll be back next time with our sixth installment, The Hot Seat. Can you think of a sign off?
See ya, young whippersnappers.
Congratulations, Dr. Tyler. Your cybernetic supercop is indeed a sound investment.
Thank you, sir.
Now, as for that videotape.
Ah, yes. Tapes are such delicate things, so easily erased.